I'm Lisa DeLay, and you're listening to the Spark My Muse podcast. Soul School, this is lesson 13. What is meaningful work? So today on the lesson, we're going to be talking about vocation, which is calling or life's work. And a lot of people might think of vocation as ministry, which is sort of a more of an old-fashioned way of looking at vocation. And I want to rethink that today. And also in January, all of the theme of January will occasionally look at the topic of vocation. There'll be some other guests on the show and some other themes on the show in the month of January. And no matter when you listen to these episodes, whether it's in January or any other time of the year, there'll be sometimes these topics of vocation. And so you can listen to them at any time, and hopefully they'll be evergreen for you. And it is also part of a project I'm doing with James Prescott and a lot of other creators in 2016, a project called SynCreate. Think of the word synchronize, S-Y-N, and then the word create stuck together with a hashtag, SynCreate. And it's a project a bunch of us are doing, and you're welcome to join us too. It's just kind of an open source project where we concentrate on a theme, create some things, and then stick the hashtag on it so we can all find each other's work and be encouraged by it and delve into each other's work and share each other's work around the internet. So if you want to also participate, you're welcome to do that. Whether you write a blog or you want to write a poem or a short story, put a photograph out there, or maybe even a movie or something on YouTube or Instagram, you write something or do something or make something about vocation and stick it out there with the hashtag, and James and I will look for it and we'll try to spread it around. So as we look at the idea of vocation, I'd like to think about it in a few different ways and invite you to also do the same. So when we think about vocation, sometimes we think about that vocation has to be this kind of life's work that is meaningful and also pays the bills and is sort of where all our passions can be focused in and centered in. And I think sometimes a false dichotomy comes into play. For instance, maybe we can think of it like this. Supposing that you're a person who just lives and breathes for surfing waves, right? So you get up in the morning and you grab your surfboard and you head out to the waves, and that is just the cry of your heart to ride these waves. And you think, all I want to ever do is surf these waves, and this is just my passion, and I just want other people to learn how to do this too. And this will be the most fulfilling thing I can do, is just teach people how to surf. So you set out to help people learn how to surf, but in the process of doing that, you realize that teaching people how to surf or running a company or a charity that teaches people how to surf is extremely different from actually just getting out on your surfboard each day and surfing. And so what we find is that what you might get great passion in doing might be completely different than something you do that's a good cause or that pays the bills. And so vocation doesn't have to look one way. And sometimes I think we have pressures sometimes from the outside that indicate to us that vocation should look one way or that our passions should also pay the bills. And I think that that is a false dichotomy to play into. We can do something vocationally that might look like a hobby to someone else or might look like some side job to someone else, but vocation is simply doing something that involves our passions and what we feel like we're put on this earth to do. And it doesn't have to mean that we do it 40 hours a week or 80 hours a week. We can do it 5 hours a week. The point is that we do it at all. And the point is that we make sure that we head in a direction where we can accomplish that. And so don't let someone pigeonhole you or make you feel guilty for the amount of time you're spending on it. Just make sure that you can head in the direction that you do that more fully. So I'm going to give you a little bit of an exercise to help you move into a vocational path. If you don't know already what your vocation is, that's not a problem. It switches from time to time. It'll change depending on the season of your life. It might depend on the age you are, or whether you're a student, or whether you're a parent, or whether you're retired. It tends to change. Often in midlife, you'll sense a completely different shift in a calling. And that's not a problem. It doesn't mean it's one thing for your whole life. Don't get upset if you sense a different calling or a different shift. It might depend on your skills and talents. It might depend on some sort of suffering or stage in life that you've encountered, or some sort of event that's happened to you or happened to someone close to you. And that is all something to take into consideration as you venture on this journey toward vocation or towards a shifting vocation. So here's a couple things to consider. You might need to get a pencil and paper and take some notes, or circle back to this a little later and consider it. You might want to replay this episode and consider this a little more fully when you get a chance. So here's your homework for Soul School. Take a look back at a few years of your life, at least a few months of your life, but hopefully at a few years of your life, and sort out what have been some of the most profound moments and the most meaningful work. And why has it been that most meaningful? Maybe it was caring for a loved one. Maybe it was making a difference in someone's life in some way. Maybe it was a conversation that you had. It might have been something that other people would have seen as an insignificant moment, or maybe it was something very profound and earth-shattering that everybody knows about. It seems to me that three categories tend to be vocational categories for people. And sometimes it is a combination of these categories that meld into sort of one vocational quality that people sort of latch onto. So see if one of these categories is also a category for you. So people tend to move into one of these categories. The category of vocationally solving problems for people, and people can tend to be problem solvers, and that is a very satisfying vocationally for them. It feels like a calling to be encountered with certain problems and being able to solve them. It feels very satisfying. Another vocational path is the path of making a difference and being an influence. So people sometimes feel very satisfied making a big difference in people's lives or being very influential in people's lives. I feel like that is kind of my vocational path. And the other one is a service or helps vocation. And partially I feel like that is a vocation for me as well, and that you can have some combinations of these three. But this is also something that people in the medical profession really identify with, people in pastoral ministry, social work, teachers, coaches. They really want to help and serve and give of themselves to others. It takes a very special person, for instance, to be helping with special needs children. That's a very helps and service-oriented profession that people say is very rewarding, but sometimes does not come with monetary rewards. And so that is definitely a calling and a vocational path. And if someone wants to discourage you in that path and say, oh, well, you can't make a living doing that, they might be right. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't pursue that path. What it might mean is that you have to fund what you're doing in a different way. And really a vocation is something, a calling is something that you can't turn off. It's just there calling to you. And you can either deny it and try to turn the volume down and anesthetize it, or you can continue walking towards that call. And that's my encouragement to you. Is think of calling in a new way. Think of it as something that you're going to find your own path to it, and it doesn't have to look like anyone else's, but just continue to walk toward it. It doesn't have to happen overnight. You have a few decades probably to explore how it works out, and you don't have to rush into it. You can pursue it over a few years, and you don't have to worry that you don't have the answer right away. And you can find other people and mentors along the way that will help you unfold that next step. So the concrete homework for you, besides finding out which of those three buckets, if you will, kind of is the niche for you, the real concrete homework for you is to find a small way until the next soul school, until lesson number 14, is to find a really concrete way to do something small in that category for you, whether it's a solving problem vocational path, making a difference or an influence, or it's the helping and service path. And try to accomplish that in a significant way, but a small way, within the next week until the next soul school. And as you accomplish that, really explore what that feels like. Really step into that and see, is that a fit for me? Is that a fit? And does this seem like this is a path that makes sense? And if you want to contact me and tell me what that path is, you can do so on my Twitter feed, on Twitter at Lisa DeLay. There's also a Spark My Muse Facebook group. You can always search for it on Facebook. And you could put up a picture or say what your path is and what you've done in a small way to step toward that. I'm really interested to see what that is. And in the weeks to come, we'll explore vocation in new ways. Thank you so much for listening, and may your new year be blessed. Show notes for this episode can be found at sparkmymuse.com. There you'll find details for websites and people and books mentioned in this episode, and sometimes you'll find photos and videos too. Please stop by and check it out.